Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
Father, forgive them. In our system of law, special attention is given to someone's dying declaration. If our legal system gives such weight to the last words of an imperfect man, it seems to me that we should take special note of the dying declarations of the only truly innocent man who ever walked this earth, Jesus Christ. After being nailed to the cross, his first dying declaration was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. Let's say that Billy is dying in a hospital bed after being fatally shot, and all he can muster the strength to do is point at Johnny and whisper, "He shot me." We would know who the "he" was in that situation, but who exactly is the "them" in this declaration of Jesus? Who offended Jesus? Who mortally wounded him? Who caused him such anguish? Maybe it was his disciples who couldn't stay awake to pray with him. Judas, who betrayed him with a kiss. The 9 disciples who ran away. Peter, who denied 3 times that he knew Jesus. The false witnesses in Caiaphas's house. The members of the Sanhedrin who hit him and spit on him. The members of the Sanhedrin who were silent. The temple guards who mocked him. Those who spewed lies when Jesus stood before Pilate. Those who lied about Jesus when he stood before Herod. Herod and his soldiers who mocked him. The Roman soldiers who abused him, or the Roman soldiers who stripped him naked and crucified him. To all of the above, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Listen to how Peter described the response of Jesus to all this. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. That word for insults means to heap abuse upon him or to pile on. This was a fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy. He was oppressed and afflicted, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah uses similar words where oppressed means tyrannized and afflicted means a humiliating, painful loss of dignity. Christ's own disciples afflicted him, and so did the temple guards and Pilate and King Herod, and the Roman soldiers, and you and me. All of this mistreatment and humiliation and tyrannizing was handed out by us too. See Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. That's why his arms were spread so wide when he said, "Father, forgive them," because there were so many that needed forgiveness. When Jesus said, "Forgive," he was asking his Father to take away our guilt that kept us out of God's presence. Think of a courtroom scene where God the Father is the judge, Satan is the prosecutor, Jesus is the victim, and I am the defendant. The evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible, and I am pronounced guilty. My punishment is a death sentence. When Jesus says, "Father, forgive him," he is taking the death penalty in my place. In another beautiful fulfillment of an Old Testament practice, Jesus became both our sin offering and our scapegoat, making atonement for us at the mercy seat in the most holy place and allowing us to be welcomed into God's presence. See Leviticus chapter 16, verses 15 to 22, and Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," he was saying, "Father, bring them into your presence." You and I need to accept by faith the atoning work done on the cross, the forgiveness of sins that was purchased for us. Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but to lovingly restore us, and for that, we are eternally and humbly grateful. Please don't miss out on any of these dying declarations from Jesus. You can find my thoughts on all of the confessions of this dying man on my written blog.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, please check out craigtowens.com.